Domain Yaakov, we're up to Yudalit Amid Beis, which in the standard in Yaakov is Zayin Amid Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We have a quote from Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda is the early Amoraim. Shmuel is that generation between Tanoim and Amoraim. Shmuel is sometimes called Shmuel Yarchina'a, Shmuel of the moon. Shmuel was a doctor. Shmuel was an astronomer. Shmuel was also a disciple of Rebbe's. He was a contemporary of Rav. So we have two Amoraim, or the first generation of Amoraim, the Amoraic period, the period what we might call of the Talmud, Rav and Shmuel, and they are both disciples of Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the one who compiled the Mishnah. So Rav and Shmuel. And Shmuel, in the Talmud, was a top justice. It was like the chief justice. So Rav Yehuda was probably his top disciple. Rav Yehuda often quotes Shmuel. Amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. B'sha'a shetiken Shlomo eruvin ventilat yadayim. When Shlomo, we've all heard of the wise King Solomon, when he instituted Eruv, the rabbinic institution of Eruv, which we will explain in a minute, and Netilas Yadayim, and the other rabbinic mitzvah of washing one's hands, Yatzita Bat Kol, a heavenly voice came out and declared, Ve'amcha, Bini im chacham libecha yismach libi gamani. My son, if your heart wisens, then my heart is glad as well. Chacham Bini, V'samach libi, V'ashiva chofi davar. My son has become wise, and my heart is happy, and so I have an answer for those who try to deride me. So that's the quote. So here the Talmud actually goes into a whole discussion of what the order of institution of washing one's hands was. Because technically, biblically, we have one concept. A human being is a whole, and either he is pure or defiled. This idea that you clean the hands alone, well, cleanliness is a good thing, but from a spiritual perspective, it doesn't seem to be a biblical halacha that you can have the hands defiled while the rest of the hand while the rest of the body is pure. Along comes King Solomon and introduces a rabbinic institution. Don't touch holy foods without washing your hands. The idea that we wash our hands with a vessel, that we do netilas yadayim before we eat bread, is a remnant of that ancient institution from when the Kohanim would wash their hands prior to eating bread and prior to eating other truma. So Shlomo was the first to make this rabbinic institution of washing hands, netilas yadayim. Of course, people washed their hands before Shlomo came to the world. But as a rabbinic institution, to take a vessel and rinse your hands with it, that's King Solomon's institution. So that's number one. Number two is the mitzvah of Erev. You guys know what the mitzvah of Erev is? Okay. Should we go on a tangent? You guys want to really understand what an Erev is? Okay. So,
isn't it like the combining of one private domain of many public domains into one private domain?
Everything you guys said was right. We'll just try to get a deeper understanding. But everything you said was right. Let's begin. We have two concepts in the Torah. We have a Rishus HaYochid, private domain. We have a Rishus HaRabim, public domain. Do we have any Sfaradim present? Or everyone here is Ashkenazi?
Okay.
So right now we'll discuss this in accordance with Ashkenazi tradition. There happens to be a slight difference which has many ramifications between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim in this, but we'll discuss it from an Ashkenazi perspective. So private domain, by halachic definitions, is any enclosed area that has four walls, has four enclosures, and has an area of four hand widths by four hand widths. Arba tefachim, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's about this wide by this wide, okay? So, in the United States, you have those big blue mailboxes, right? That's probably Rishus HaYachid. I never measured one, but from what I remember as a kid, the walls of the mailbox are 10 tefachim high, 10 hand-width size, so they constitute four walls. And they're about this high, 10 tefachim high. And if I remember correctly, you do have a width of 4x4 tefachim, so that would be Rishus HaYachid. So that means that if we have a public domain, let's say we have Midtown Manhattan, and you have Danish on the post office box, and you take that Danish from the post office box, or let's say you take a letter from the post office box, and you put it down in public domain, so you took it from private domain to public domain, Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, that's a biblical prohibition. Now you'll tell me, but the mailbox is owned by the U.S. Post Office. It's a federal crime to take mail out of there. And I'll say that it makes no difference. The ownership when it comes to Shabbos is not what constitutes private domain. Private domain is constituted by these parameters. It has to have four walls, or the halachic equivalent of four walls, and an area of 4x4. So if we have four walls, 10 tefachim high, and an area of 4x4, the fact that it's owned by the United States government doesn't interest us. So that's step one. We have Rishus HaYachid in a second. Then we have Rishus HaRabim, public domain, where you have a main thoroughfare. You got 2 million people going down Wall Street every day. You got 2 million people going down Broadway. You got 2 million people going down Fifth Avenue. You have these main streets. Coney Island Avenue maybe has 2 million people a day. So you got 2 million people. You have the equivalent of 600,000 men over the age of 20. Which you translate that plus another 600,000 women plus children. You end up in a range of 2 million living around there. You have 600,000 on any given day going down those streets. So the streets are 60 nama wide, which isn't that wide. It's a little wider than this room, like maybe double this room. So what is that? Four lanes? I'm saying four lanes, six lanes. And you got Rishus HaRabim, Doraisa, public domain. So far we've defined two domains. You may not take something out of private domain into public domain, out of public domain into private domain. So what happens if a person's standing in public domain and he's chewing gum, and then he spits it into private domain? Biblical prohibition. Wow, wouldn't think of that, right? Or if he pops a candy into his mouth and goes out into public domain, we got problems, okay? So he chews his gum, and then he finds himself in public domain. He says, shucks, swallows it. Bam, biblical prohibition. He took it out of private domain into public domain. So this is a real issue. I mean, people live in Manhattan. I spend Shabbos in Manhattan. You got a real biblical Rishus HaRabim. How do you carry your key around? So they have special belts where the key is the stick that holds the belt closed. You put the key into as part of the belt. So now it's a garment you're wearing. You're allowed to wear garments in public domain. That's okay. Okay, so we have private domain, we have public domain. We have something else that's on no man's land, which maybe we'll discuss in a minute. But so far, this is step one of introduction. Yes?
So in terms of the private domain, does it matter? The references that we had before, was that something was on top of the private domain?
Or in.
So it can be on top or in. What if it's connected on the side?
That's a good question.
Or what if it's just hovering above? Like, could you pass a letter over it?
That's another good question. We need to discuss it, but not right now. Remind me to get back to it. Okay? Those happen to be overt gemaros and halachos and shulchan aruch. See, you're after the army. If you were before the army, then we'd have to discuss if on Shabbos you have to go on a patrol and now you have to disembark. So the army vehicles are usually Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, because you have four walls, like those, I don't know what they call them, those where...
The jeeps.
Even the jeeps, the tanks. Right. You have four walls.
Nagmash,
but not even the Nagmash. They have these, like, I don't know what to call it. It's not a station wagon. It's bigger. Where in the back, they have the plastic thing that comes down, the walls that go up and down, and they sit like six soldiers in the back.
Isn't that a lagmash?
Yeah, I don't think so, but maybe. Okay, at any rate, you have, many of the vehicles are Ursha Sayachid Doraisa. So if you wanted to pass out, if you need to pass out paperwork, the key would be to put it on the mirror. The mirror is an unspecified zone. It doesn't have four walls. It's not a Rosh Hashanah, it's not a Rosh Hashanah, it's a place where you could put things down, and then another guy would take it off that. Now that's true in a situation where you're back on base, things aren't pressured, and you don't have to, and you have time. You're not under pressure.
But in the interest of, you know, like defending the borders, isn't
right, and when you're on patrol, you can't think about jobs. You have to be focused on your job. You're not allowed to think about other things. Right. I'm saying when you're back on base, and then it's a question of doing other things. So then you try to minimize the prohibitions. Okay, so step one, we've defined Rosh Hashanah, we've defined Rosh Hashanah, and this is all biblical. Step two, let's take yeshiva, okay? You each have your room. So your room is your domain. Rosh Hashanah. Now the hallway, that's private domain, but it's a much more public private domain. Let's take the courtyards here in Jerusalem. If you walk in the Old City or you walk in Mea Shearim, you see many courtyards where every person has their own house and then they have a shared yard, or take an apartment building. Those of you who visited us before we moved out of the neighborhood, everyone's house is their private domain. Now you walk out into the hallway, it's enclosed, it's still private domain, but it's shared, it's a more public-private domain. Now you walk out to the yard, which might be fully enclosed, that's an even more public-private domain. Now you walk out onto a dead-end street, which is enclosed, at least on three sides. And that's an even more public-private domain, shared by more people. So King Solomon said, if we allow people to take things within private domain, you're allowed to carry in private domain, right? You're not allowed to carry an object 4 footsteps in public domain, but in private domain, in Rosh Hashanah, you may carry as you wish, right? So, let's say in shul. You're allowed to carry whatever you want in shul. It's Rosh Hashanah. You're in your house. You're allowed to carry whatever you want. The problem is, you can't walk out with the sitter outside of shul, if outside shul is going to be Rosh Hashanah. So,
there's a fence around the shul. But...
Wait, I'll get there. Slowly. Maybe we'll get there. So in your house, you could carry as much as you want. What about the hallway? What about the hall that's shared by all the neighbors? So if you let people carry in that hallway, and then you let people carry in the yard, and then you say this is a dead-end street and people could carry in the street, so then people will forget themselves. They won't view the street as private domain. They won't view the yard as private domain. People know their own houses are private domain. But if outside in the yard, everyone can carry and no one makes a difference, so people won't recognize that. So that's problem number one. So for that, we have one type of Eruv, where all the neighbors become a part of one house. What we do is we say, let's all take our Shabbos meal, let's eat together. So we say, okay, we're going to put a Shabbos meal in Marcel's house, for argument's sake, and we're all going to eat at Marcel. Maybe we won't eat by you, but we'll have our Shabbos meal by you. Ah, we won't eat it, but we'll at least put a pack of matzahs by you. So anyone, we all know we're apart, we've all united into one house. So then there's no difference between Marcel's house and the hall or the yard, because we're all part of one house. So we've really changed it. Instead of having 15 different houses and then the courtyard, which is our only shared domain, we've united as though we're all in one house, and now the house is all of ours and the courtyard is all of ours. So that's the idea of one type of Eruv. Eruv Chatzeros, or Eruv Mavui, same idea. Mavui is a dead-end street. Chatzeros are the courtyards, and the houses around a courtyard. That's one idea. Now let's go to the next idea. We discussed that biblically we have two domains. We have Rosh Hashanah, we have Rosh Hashanah. What happens to something that doesn't fall under either criterion? Let's take a fire hydrant. Now, unless they change fire hydrants in the U.S., a fire hydrant does not have the height of 10 tefachim, so it doesn't have 4 walls that are 10 tefachim high. It does not have 4 by 4 tefachim width. So what is that? So we say that is a makom ptur. Technically, if I'm standing in public domain and I suddenly realize I have a tissue, or let's say I'm standing in public domain, it's Shabbos, okay? I'm standing there waiting for my wife to come out of shul, and I'm friendly with the non-Jewish janitor in shul, and I'm standing outside Midtown Manhattan, I'm waiting across the street for my wife to come out, and the janitor comes rushing out and he says, "Hey buddy, I gotta run to the hospital with my kids, grab this," and he gives me his keys and runs. Now I'm standing in public domain with his keys. I can't walk back to shul to put them down. What am I supposed to do? Okay, so his keys are a bad example.
Can you kick them? Can you set two steps?
Okay, so let's leave his keys for 1 second. Let's say he says, "Hey man, my wife's around the corner and I promised her I won't have any sweets. Grab this." And he gives me his pack of gum. And he runs down to see his wife. Now I'm standing there with a pack of gum, which he just gave me. I say, "What am I supposed to do with it?" He says, "Eat it, enjoy it. My wife will kill me if she sees me with my gum." So now what am I supposed to do? I can't walk back to shul with the gum. So I have a pack of sweets in my hand. I have a fire hydrant right next to me. If I put it down on the fire hydrant, I didn't take it out of public domain to private domain. I didn't transport it in public domain 4 footsteps. And that fire hydrant is considered a makom ptur. It's no man's land. You're allowed to transfer from Rishus Rabim, from public domain, to a makom ptur, provided you didn't take 4 footsteps to get there, right? You're not allowed to transport things 4 footsteps in public domain. Or what happens very often is, you walk out of the house on Shabbos, you're walking in public domain, and you suddenly realize you have something in your pocket.
Can you throw it? Just curious.
So what would throwing it help you? Eventually it'll land, and then you transported it. Why would it help?
Could you throw it back into the house?
So you could walk right back into the house. If you didn't stop it, so then it hasn't landed yet. It's considered like it's still in motion. You can make an about face and walk right back into the house. I did that many times. Where I walked out and suddenly I felt out of tissue in my pocket, so I kept walking, walked right back into the house. Right? Okay, so that's okay. I undid what I did because I never stopped. Stopping constitutes a landing. So long as it's in motion, it hasn't landed, you didn't really do a transgression yet.
So carry things and walk to shul the whole way?
No.
But you don't stop.
Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to take from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and you're not allowed to transport in Rishus HaRabim more than 4 footsteps. The fact that you didn't do a biblical prohibition, but you did do a rabbinic prohibition. And if you end up stopping at a light, the minute you stand, so then you do transgress. You stand there to catch your breath. You stand there and you're standing, then the object landed, then it's a biblical prohibition. So one of the ways out is by putting it back on a makom ptur, on this area that's a no man's land. Along came the rabbis and said, okay, we have Rishus HaYochid, right? We have Rishus HaRabim, we define that. Now what happens, there are areas that are not Rishus HaYochid, they don't have 4 walls, and they're not Rishus HaRabim. They don't have the masses going down there. The average street here in Kiryat Moshe. Mm-hmm. So let's see. We have the Mehameiri street. What is that? It's not private domain. It doesn't have 4 walls. It's not public domain. It doesn't have 2 million people going down on a given day. It doesn't have 16 Amma. Ooh. I'm sorry. So now we're up to part 3. So we said, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. So far, so good. Now we have a third thing called a carmelis. That's what most of our streets are. The average Jewish neighborhood has a carmelis. You don't have a Rishus HaRabim for Ashkenazim. Sfaradim is a whole different deal. Bini, I'm sorry we started this without you, so we focused Ashkenazi. Sfaradim is a different deal. But at any rate...
Wait, with what? Eruv.
So for us Ashkenazim, most communities don't have a street that has 2 million people or even 600,000 people going on an average day. And that's been the case for most of the last 2 millennia, that we don't have a real Rishus HaRabim. So now what we have is something which is rabbinically prohibited. Biblically, it's not public domain, it's not private domain. come the rabbis and say, yeah, but if we're going to let you carry around there, and if you're going to be able to treat it like private domain, you're going to end up carrying in public domain as well. So the rabbi said, if you want to carry in that domain, you have to enclose it and make it into a private domain. How do you enclose it? Ah, very simple. So you come to a city like Jerusalem, all you got to do is build walls all around the city, and then the city has four enclosures and you're good. Ah, wait, it's a problem. How am I going to build walls all around Jerusalem? So first of all, it's doable. But we did it. And the community I grew up in, they built walls around the city. I mean, in New York, there are cities that do it. In Arnulf, they did it.
They built a wall?
They basically, yeah.
So you
but
an entire community as a private domain.
Right, right. You can do that. But there's an easier way. And that brings us to a halachic concept which we have on tradition from Moshe from Sinai, which works as follows. And this brings us to the concept of Eruv the way you guys know it. Eruv, we say that if you have two poles, and a string that goes above them, so that is viewed as the formation of a doorway. And we say that's considered, even without a door, we consider it as though it's closed. So the halachic definition of a doorway, of an entranceway, is two posts with something else on top of them. It could be a string. It could also be a plank on top of them. It's simpler with a string, but I'm saying technically you could put a plank on top too. And we'll pick up here with Hashem in a minute.